Matthew chapter 7. I appreciate Brother George. You ought to have been at the restaurant last night when we was eating. That was so funny. I was sitting where we were sitting at. Brother Lawrence was sitting with his back to these people. And they were laughing and just cutting up. Well, we was all laughing and cutting up, but they was laughing at us. Well, we was talking about that double-headed copperhead that they had on the news. Did anybody see that other than me? They had a two-headed copperhead without snake. I mean, a real snake. And what was so funny about it, they said, this guy just died laughing. I said, they said its head, what the problem was, it one head wanted to go one direction, and one head wanted to go one direction. And I said, it had to be a Baptist. I said, that guy got so tickled. And they could bite with both heads. Great day in the morning, say amen. Hey, listen, let me say this. I appreciate everybody asking me about my wife. God bless you. We've been out in so many week after week. And I, to be honest with you, I'm depressed. I'll be honest with you. The rug has just been pulled out from under me for the extent I have preached 5 straight weeks back to back. I've not had nobody get saved. And it's killing me. I mean, it is just absolutely draining the life out of me. I'm on 10 radio stations Monday through Friday. I get all kinds of mail from people, and people are hurting. They're hurting. And which that I understand that, but I'm just saying, if you want to see me come alive, just let people start getting saved. But it's like the Spirit of God is taking, He is withdrawing from us. Does that make any sense what I'm telling you? Used to, it was nothing uncommon 40 years ago for me to send a letter back to the churches. 25 people got saved. But you don't do that now. Honestly. And Brother George did a masterful job this morning, but you don't hear amens, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's just a thing of the past. It's just a thing of the past. Help us, Lord. Okay, Matthew, please, chapter 7. And we're going to start reading. Now, listen, I got to tell you this. We got to leave right after the service, don't we, Brother George? And he's driving. Let's pray. I got to ride shotgun. But anyway, he took the car home. But anyway, we got to leave right after the service because he's got to be at his church tonight at 6 o'clock. So we'll have to, boy, I might get me something to go. I know y'all are real cooks. I understand that. I've been around here a few times. Say amen right there. Betty, I said say amen right there. I've ate at some of y'all's homes, and I know y'all are good cooks. But anyway, we got to leave right after Thursday. I'm going to try my best to be home the second week of December. I got to go to Danville, Virginia, and I appreciate everybody praying for me. And my wife, to update you, she's lost all of her momentum. If I had my wife here today, you'd say that's not the Mary I knew 10 years ago. She's literally just done this as a result of the cancer and the chemo. She has no initiative. She don't want to do anything. And I know you right away, you're going to say, well, she's depressed. That may be a part of it. But she quit driving. She doesn't go grocery shopping. I have to get somebody to help me clean the house. I could just tell you, chemo is a horrible thing. Chemo is a horrible thing. And it affects people other than other people. Somehow their metabolism is different. But I appreciate you asking about my wife. Please pray for her. Matthew, please, chapter 7. Now we're going to pick up where George left off. I'll try to. In Matthew 7, in verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the... Sit back to me. Enter ye in at the straight gate. You might want to turn me down, son. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Look in verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Now, keep your finger there where it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Flip over to the book of Acts, please, chapter 3, right quick. Acts 3, and I want you to make a note of this. Acts chapter 3, look down if you would in verses where I'm at. verse 2. Acts chapter 2:3, verse 2. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the what? At the gate what? The gate of the temple. And the Bible says, which is called Beautiful. All right, in Matthew 7, you got a straight gate. In Acts chapter 3, you have a beautiful gate. Well, now watch this, if you would. If you go over to, let me find my place just a minute. I want you to get this one down. Go to Luke, please, chapter 16. You're real familiar with this. And when I get in it, it won't take me very long. In Luke, please, chapter 16, and look in your Bible. I want you to make a note of this. Luke chapter 16, and read with me. Ready? No. You got it? I ain't going to read it till you find your place. Luke 16, verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom, and he died and was buried. And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. But if you go back and look in your Bible, you'll find these gates that are mentioned. Now, I want you to make a note of this. Well, let me show you this. Go to Matthew. I want to make note of it. Matthew, please, chapter 16. I can quote every one of them, but I want you to read them. In Matthew chapter 16, if you look in your Bible, back up in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell. G-A-T-E-S. Gates of hell. So you find there's a gate called Beautiful, then there's a gate called Abroad, and then a wide gate. But now watch this. Go to Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to read this to you. Now I'm going to show you my chapter. Okay, Revelation chapter 1. Make a note of this. I believe it's in verse 18. All right, in Matthew 16, he says that the gates of hell, G-A-T-E-S, it's in the plural. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 18, John said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the what? Say it again. I have the keys, K-E-Y-S, of death and hell. Y'all see that? Well, what I want to show you, I don't even know if Lawrence can relate to this. Some of these older men, I can. I bet Brother Jay can. How many of y'all remember in years gone by, used to take barbed wire and stretch it around a field, but we didn't have money to buy a gate, not a big old metal gate, so we used barbed wire to make a gap. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I say a gap? But you would take and make a gap out of it, and that you put the gap up. So you go through your Bible, and you'll find all these gates is mentioned. But the one I want to show you for a little while, and it won't take me long, go to Psalms 100. And I want you to watch this. We'll pick up right where George left off. All these gates, and I wish I had time to deal with all of them, but look in your Bible in Psalms chapter 100. Everybody get there. There's only five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Hallelujah. If that ever registers in your little brain that we are so self-reliant. Personally, I think that's where the train has got derailed. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Ha, glory. It is he that hath made us. I know you say, I'm a self-made man or woman. No, you're not. No, you're not. Let's do this morning. I want you to raise your left hand. Just raise your left hand. Do this. Just raise it up. Now, make a fist. Do that. I seen a man last night coming out of Denny's, and he had had a stroke, and his left hand was totally impaired. And I thought, what a blessing it would be to be around a stroke victim if they could just do that. They'd give anything just to raise their hand. They'd give anything just to make a fist. Don't we take so much for granted? But I seen that man walking, and I thought, I bet he'd give anything in the world just to do that. Now, look what it says. For the Lord hath made us. But now I want you to watch this. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates, gates, G-A-T-E-S, with thanksgiving. Now, we're not a thankful people by nature. But it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Well, just in a little while, and I know that some of y'all are excellent cooks. They've got a meal fixed over there. Sharon told me she had fixed ham and turkey. I asked her, could we come and help her relieve it of it, and she didn't offer. But think about all the food. What is it? When is Thanksgiving? Thursday? We don't even call it Thanksgiving. As a whole, we call it Turkey Day. And everybody lives to go play or to watch football games. Y'all know why I'm telling you the truth. Eat a big meal, watch a football game. There's more to Thanksgiving than eating and watching a football game. Really, it ought to be a day when we repent toward God. It ought to be a day when we remember how good God's been to us. And it ought to be a day that we realize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. But these gates got me intrigued. Now, let's look in your Bible. I'm back in Psalm 100. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's what Brother George was trying to get you to see this morning. All right, we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then he says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. The next verse, for the Lord is good. Glory, can y'all say that? There's nothing, there's little old Amy up there in the hospital. I love little old Amy. When she's at camp, we about destroy the camp. Okay, she's in, can anything happen to us that God doesn't know about it? Think about it now for a minute before you answer me. Can anything, does God know where Amy's at? Do this or something. All right, if I wind up in open heart surgery again, does God know that? What if I have a stroke? Don't God know that? All right, it says, for he hath made us. Well, I got to thinking about the eye gate, and I got to thinking about the ear gate. And I got to think about all these gates in the Bible. And when you think about it, and when you really truly think about it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. All right, the eye gate, Job said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'd give anything. Some of y'all are good. Brother Lawrence is good with a computer. I live to blow them up. I mean, I hate them. I hate anything that you have to go to a kid and your grandson and get him to turn it on for you. But a computer has got an edit button on it. You can edit stuff out. I'd give anything in the world if I could edit some of this stuff out of my mind. I'd give anything if I'd have never heard a lot of these four-letter words that I used to. Oh, don't worry, some of y'all still remember them too. I'm talking about your eye gate. I'm talking about your eye gate, your ear gate. Think with me for a moment. Just put this in gear. Lawrence hates gun smoke. He don't like gun smoke. I like gun smoke. I wanted Matt Dillon to kiss Miss Kitty. But I want. I'm just kidding. But hey, but watch this. We come a long way from I Love Lucy. We've come a long way from Andy Griffith. And we've come a long way from Gunsmoke. Everything geared on television, I've never seen nothing like it in my life, ma'am. They got televisions now that's 6 foot wide. I mean, the length of a hole. Can you imagine a television? I remember when I was a boy, Don, I can remember going to a show for a dime in Crab Orchard, and I can remember them talking about cinema color. Do y'all remember this? Cinema color. They used to, it was just black and white shows. Well, Hopalong Cassidy, Lash LaRue, you see, y'all don't remember none of that stuff. But then when they started having color, or cinema color, and they said, one day they'll have this in our homes. I'm a kid. I'm just a kid, and I thought, that'll never happen. But look. Think about what goes in our eye gate. Think about what goes in here, just on a television screen. My grandpa would have thrown you out the door if people would use the language that they now use on the sports stars. He'd throw you out the front door. He wouldn't permit it. Now, I got to show you this. Let's go back. I want you to watch. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto him, for it is the Lord hath made us. Now, I ain't got time to show you all these gates, so we just have to put that out. But Jesus has the keys of death and hell. When did Jesus get the keys of death and hell? When he went into the heart of the earth, closed up the paradise side of hell. But now watch this. I don't have to fear dying. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. That ought to make us all thankful and grateful, amen. And watch this, that nothing can happen to me without the knowledge of God. Absolutely nothing. Now you have to discipline yourself to watch what you let go in your eye gate and in your ear gate. We all agree with that. We all agree with that. You have to be careful. You have to discipline yourself not to do that. But now the psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Boy, that's what got me. G-A-T-E-S. And I thought to myself, what could we really, truly, as a people, what could we really, truly be thankful for? Well, I realize and understand the grace of God, it finds a sinner and it clothes you. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever, Adam and Eve, when they was in the garden, after Eve was beguiled by Satan, and she lost her Shekinah glory of God. Amen, Brother Sisson. Amen, Brother Sisson. Her brightness and illumination. Adam willingly, if you read Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore sin came in the world by one man, death had passed upon all men. All right, you remember they made fig leaves. Do y'all remember? And they tried to cover themselves. And God said, he told Adam, who told thee thou was naked? Do y'all remember this? Genesis chapter 3, it says he made coats of skins and clothed them. So an innocent animal had to die to cover Adam and Eve up. If you read the Proverbs 21, it says lambs are for thy clothing. Probably an innocent lamb gave its life to cover Adam and Eve. So we find the grace of God, it clothes us. Boy, ain't that a blessing. You didn't find God, God found you. Well, we shall get a hold of that. Somebody say, I found God. No, you didn't. The Holy Ghost of God searched you out. Nobody's saved until they come to the end of themselves. And you know what's missing in our churches? It's called Holy Ghost conviction. It's just as though that the Holy Ghost is nowhere around. But I got to show you this. The grace of God, it finds us and it clothes us, and then it forgives us, and then it cleanses us. Well, that's something to be thankful for. And then it frees the sinner, and that clears them. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not going to do it like, I'm not going to say that I don't care about Brother George. But I don't care what he thinks about me. Well, y'all want to have a Quaker meeting? I love George, but I don't really care what George thinks about me as an individual. All right, I'm saved. I don't need his approval upon my life. I love Brother Jay and Miss Betty, but I don't need their approval upon my life. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? All right, when I got saved, I'm already in the who's who. Y'all ain't getting it, are you? We had a meeting with the governor, and they said, oh, preacher, you got to meet with the governor and his entourage. Well, so what? He puts his pants on the same way I do, one leg at a time. Amen. Well, he's an important, I'm as important as he is. When you understand and realize that you're in the who's who, your name's wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've been forgiven, say amen. You've been clothed with the righteousness of God, and let nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of God. That ought to make you whoopee, sort of happy every now and then. Does me, amen. Now watch this. How am I to react? It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and be thankful unto him. Right? Now we got the eye gate, we got the ear gate to put up with. That's another whole message. Now won't you write this down for me? Will you agree with me that everybody ought to be thankful for their conversion experience? Not whether I had this little facade thing. I heard this junk, Jay, till it's sickening. Well, when you reach the age of accountability, when is that? When you reach the age of accountability, well, when you get 12 years old, give me a chapter and verse for that. Give me a chapter and verse that when you get 12 years old, that's the age of accountability. No, it's not. I've seen people that's grown men that haven't reached the age of accountability. That it's a rare thing, but until God the Holy Ghost reveals to you your lost condition, Luke 19:10, it says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right? You will never get saved till the Holy Ghost comes to you and reveals to you your lost condition. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. All right, when an individual, when they come to the end of themselves and they trust the shed blood, minus nothing, plus nothing, that makes them what? Saved. All right, you ought to thank God. I mean, you ought to thank God for your conversion experience, amen. He was kidding me about my life, Brother Bradley. He's kidding me about my past. I don't really have a past. My past is underneath the blood. But everybody's always dragging it up. Talking about 50 years ago. Well, all the years that I've been saved, don't that account for nothing? But I'm saying, what I'm trying to get you to see, we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Every now and then, God the Holy Ghost ought to drag you back to the moment in time you got saved. And then you ought to be able to go back and look where he brought you from. And every now and then you ought to say, man, I'm going to that place called heaven, amen. Woo! Don't y'all ever get a little excited over nothing? I know what you do. Yeah, about springtime when the fish is biting, you're going to get real excited. And I'm going to tell your wife on all them lures that you lost, that you bought, that you didn't tell her about. I'm going to rat you out, boy. But now watch this. They'll get excited to go deer hunting. They'll get excited to go fishing. Am I right or wrong? And some people get real excited over a five-family yard sale sign or a moving sale or a Black Friday. There's people that will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, and go shopping. I ain't doing it. But what I'm saying is that that's an excitable thing. And I know where I'm at. I'm in Madisonville, Kentucky. Lexington is absolutely called blue country. Somerset, they bleed blue. Did y'all get what I said? They bleed blue. But I want to ask you a question. Everybody look at me. When a game, there are thousands of people will go to that arena. Well, not right or wrong. Look at me. Thousands of people will go to that arena. Would y'all do this? All right, when the game is over, what is it accomplished? Not a thing except excited the flesh for a few minutes. Right or wrong? Okay, we should be the most happiest, jubilant people that ever drawed a breath. We. Amen. And it don't take 5,000 people to get me excited. But what I'm trying to, it says, enter into his gates with what? Say it back to me. Do you ever thank God for your conversion experience? I've seen God save drunks, whores, thieves. I've seen God save about every class you can think of. Hey, glory, but we that are saved people, we ought to be go back there and say, God, look where you brought me from. Let me show you this, and let's go back. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You ought to thank God for your conversion experience. Number two, you ought to thank God for your companion in life. Do you ever do that? Do you ever, ever just say, thank you, Lord, for a good husband. Lord, thank you for a good wife. How come y'all ain't doing this or nothing? But I mean, do you ever, I know of people literally, that have been married 35 and 40 years, and here's what they'll say. You don't know what it's like to have to go home to an empty house. You don't know what it's like to sit at a table and your husband is, you put him in the cold, dark ground. You don't know what it's like when your wife is gone. You don't know what it's like when you lose a child. Boy, you ever thank God for your companion in life? How would you like to live in this culture trying to find a husband or a bride? I've got two nieces. I'm ashamed to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it needs to help you. I got two nieces are graduates from North Carolina State, and both of them are lesbians. Could you not have nieces, nephews, and children that's of that lifestyle? What I'm trying to get you to see, but do you ever just thank God for your companion in life? Do you ever thank God for your children? Mine, God bless their heart, I've got them boys and they're mean as a junkyard dog. They say, why is preacher's kids so mean they hang around the deacons? But I'm saying, I've never had to go to jail and get one of them out of there. I've never seen one of them in handcuffs. I've never once seen one of them put a liquor bottle to their mouth. Ain't that a blessing? What I'm saying is you ought to thank God for your children. Now then we put them in dumpsters. You know that's a fact. Now we abandon the babies, leave them at a fire department, leave them at a police department. May God help us, amen. I'm saying, do you ever thank God for your children? Oh, I do. Man, I love my grandkids. I got six of them, lady. And they come home, and I like it, but I love it when they leave. I said, take them and go home. Y'all don't get that. But if they don't come back, guess who goes and gets them? Somebody, I know. Somebody told me, he said, Brother Sisson, said, I'll bet you give them girls everything. No, I don't. No, I don't. Their grandmother does, but I don't. But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't even have no children if it hadn't been, I wouldn't have grandchildren if it wasn't for my children. Do you ever just thank God for your children? Hey, sis, question, look at me. Meg, how old are you? 26? What would you guys think about this? We had a jail service, and there was 23 women there. Out of 23 women that was in them jails, what do you think they was in there for? What do you think they was in there for? Dope. Drugs. Teeth missing. On meth. Teeth missing. They look three times older than what they really are. This is what I think. That could be my daughter. That don't exempt us. Say amen, because we're saved. That don't exempt us. You ought to thank God for your children, amen. If they're clean and decent and trying to live right, it ought to make you run around the building. In fact, it ought to make you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Every now and then, you ought to get on your face before God and say, Lord, thank you, my children's not on drugs. Could I tell y'all something? I get upset about this. Do you know that in our public high schools, did you know what the drug dealers do? Did you know they give your children drugs? Did you know they give the children drugs? They give it to them so they can get them hooked on it. Then they have to come back to them to get the drugs. Then they'll steal and do almost anything in the world to support their habit. I'm against these drug dealers. I'll stand them up and shoot every one of them. Do that to it. I seen where a man raped a little one-year-old child. You don't want to know what I think about that. Say amen. Amen. But this stuff goes on all the time. That's somebody's child. Them 300 or 400, 50, over 1,500 priests raped them little boys. Ain't that awful? Oh, let's go back. I don't want to get off me. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful unto him. And the Bible says, now I want you to watch this. It says, into his courts with praise. Do you ever do that? Brother Bradley was singing that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. George stuck up this finger. Look here. He's a good guitar player. Watch it. Look at there. What that finger's missing. See it? Oh, quit. See the finger missing? He held the finger up. Count your... Do y'all ever do that? Come on. Do you ever just count your many blessings? I think you ought to pray over your food. Say amen. Do you ever thank God for your paycheck? Man, every now and then, boy, I get my Social Security check, and I say, woo, glory, thank God. Then I try to get married, sign hers, and give it to me, and she won't do it. But, I mean, honestly, we ask the blessing on food, don't we? Which we ought to. But do you ever just give thanks for the simplest things? For instance, you wouldn't dare eat a bite of food without thanking the Lord for it. But do you ever just thank God for your paycheck? Or ever how your livelihood, or ever how you make a living? Well, I try to. Let me show you this, and I got to show you. You need to thank God. Say amen. Let me ask you this. Do you ever just thank God for your church? Brother Lawrence was talking about us coming down here in Happening. I remember when I was a boy, it was something as common as breathing air that my grandpa, if somebody had a problem in the community, we'd just go help them. Nobody didn't expect nothing in return. And now it's everybody, they're so self-centered, it's all about them. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. If they can't get a little glory out of it and get a little braggadocious and all this stuff. But whatever happened to people just helping each other? Lady, it's a post office. She said, are you Preacher Sisson? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've heard you on the radio. And she said, I heard about your wife. And she said, she is a colored lady. And she said, could I pray for you? We're right in the middle of the post office and they're lined up getting stamps and whatever. Oh, this colored lady, she bowed her head, and Lord, she put her hand on my shoulder, Jay, And you talk about a woman getting a hold of God. Boy, we was both crying, big old tears running down off into my chin. And I was thinking, here's what I want. Do you ever just thank God for people that care about you? That just care about you. You know, a lot of times people talk about people with dementia, but they forget about the caregiver. Sometimes a caregiver has it worse, almost worse than the dementia patient. But people just forget about them. Here's it works for me and it worked for you. You know what I do? I get sort of, a thing gets over my head and I get real gloomy. Y'all don't get that way, do you? Sometimes just a thing will hang over your head. I'll go get me a whole armload of carnations. Whole armload of them. Simply Best florist. I get me a whole armload and I go down to the nursing home and I just go down through that every room. Every person sitting in the hall, I just give them a carnation. I have the best time doing it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't get probably three rooms down the road and I'll have a spell. I'm saying when you look at them, they just want somebody to be nice to them, somebody to be a kind word to them. That means everything to them. Amen, sister. We ought to thank God for our church, amen. We ought to thank God for our country. I don't know if you do that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now watch this. I got to show you this. We're talking about them gates. I wish I had time. All right, now watch this. You ought to thank God for the Christ of glory. Amen. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad I know him. Not Buddha, not Allah. My heart goes out to that people that's so blinded. They don't know who Christ is. Boy, I do. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And think I know him. What do you think about that? Oh, I wish I'd get y'all, just get you a little bit excited about it. How are we to enter into his gates? Thankful and with praise. Am I right? Boy, we need a tub load of that thought in our gable end of our soul. Now, I've got to show you this. Last verse. Look in your Bible. Here we go. Come on. Look, if you would, in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Boy, I wish I had time to show you that. Boy, I'm so glad. Thank God. I know he says enter into the gate, the straight gate. I understand that. Jesus has keys of death and hell. There's so much to be thankful for. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Woo! I'm glad I still got a voice. I'm glad I got a voice that I can lift up and praise the Lord. Let's do this. Let's stand with our heads bowed. That's enough. I'm gonna ask the blessing. Then I want to ask you this. How many of you would just come and get on your knees and say, God, I know that, Lord, you're good and you've been so good to me. Lord, I want to just say thank you from the depths of my heart. Father, I love you. I'm ashamed of myself. Please, God, help us to see that, Lord, we're to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, and be thankful and offer up praise. God, surely, Lord, people are, Brother George, when he was speaking this morning in the Sunday school hour, it says, in all the people, oh, my soul, God, help us while we're here, the ear gate, the eye gate. Help us to watch what we enter in. Bless these young ladies and bless these young men. But God, help us to truly be thankful. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, how many of y'all just come? I ain't worried about getting Somerset.